Welcome to the Profit Podcast, everything NFL and fantasy football related all year long, with your host, Calvin Wright.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Profit Podcast. Week one is all but over. We made it through a whole Sunday, a whole Thursday night. Now we've just got Monday night. What Monday night miracles do you need? Today's podcast, we are going over week one. We're talking about some players who you all are worried about. You all are panicking up in TikTok. The profit-approved players got off to a pretty hot start all around. Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, they did pretty well. A.J. Dillon did pretty well. DeAndre Swift did pretty well. So did Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley. Michael Pittman, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Hollywood Brown ended up turning things out, but there were some profit-approved players who did not get off to a good start. And those are the ones that you really want to know about. You really want to know, am I worried about Trey Lance? What about Aaron Jones? What was that? That was scary if you're an Aaron Jones owner. Or what about Chris Olave? Looked to be the third string wide receiver. It's not what I was expecting. And most importantly, what about Travis Etienne? Everyone wants to know, what about Travis Etienne? What are we doing with Travis Etienne? Well, I've got the answers for you, or at least what I'm doing, because when I tell you to draft a player, I also draft them, so I've got the same skin in the game that you do. Let's start things off by just going over this New Orleans-Atlanta game, because Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, lots of fantasy football implications here. Am I worried about Alvin Kamara? Yes, a little bit. This is not a crazy game to me. With Jameis Winston, Alvin Kamara has not gotten that passing volume that he did with Drew Brees. So I'm worried if I was expecting him to be how he was with Drew Brees. But with Jameis Winston, I think he'll improve over this. But really, Alvin Kamara, if he's not getting a ton of receptions, relies on almost unrealistic efficiency and touchdowns. Did not come against Atlanta. But the reason I'm not too panicked about it is because this game for the Saints, if you watched it, this was a weird game. They had very few passing yards, very few any offense going in the whole first half. Things didn't really get going until the fourth quarter. That's why I'm not really making any massive fantasy football judgments based on this game. The offense was rusty. Things were a little weird. Michael Thomas looks to be back. It wasn't as dominant as people are saying, 57 yards. He did find the end zone twice, which is great if you're a Michael Thomas truther. Great news. Great news for NFL fans. Football's better when Michael Thomas is healthy. So hopefully he is on a rebound and he's getting things back together. Jarvis Landry was the number two. That's where I think Chris Olave will start to beat out Jarvis Landry. Landry played great. He really did. But Chris Olave, I'm not panicked about. You spent a low pick on him. 3 of 3. He did not have a lot of opportunities, but he made the most of it. And when you're a rookie wide receiver, that's what matters, making the most out of the limited opportunities. Justin Jefferson's first couple games, he did very little, but he made the most with each opportunity, and then they gave him more opportunities, and he continued to make the most, and now look where he is. So Chris Olave, only 3 receptions, only 3 targets, 41 yards, caught a crucial 2-point conversion. So I fully expect Chris Olave to get a bigger role in this offense, even as soon as next week. But Michael Thomas is looking like the one right now. I'm not going to make any official statements until we get 1 or 2 more games under the belt, but that is how it is looking. But like I said all offseason, if Michael Thomas isn't fully himself, Chris Olave is, what, a top 10, top 15 wide receiver? But if Michael Thomas is the one, I still think there's room on this offense with Jameis Winston for Chris Olave to be a great fantasy football wide receiver, given his talent, given his ability. Jarvis Landry is going to be the wild card. Does Jarvis Landry stay the two? I think Chris Olave jumps him within 2, 3, 4 weeks, but we'll see. We will see. On Atlanta's side of the ball, Mariota with a sneaky good game. Cordarrelle Patterson, woo! Woo! I was not expecting Cordarrelle Patterson to do that. I was wrong on that. He ended last season so poorly. Week 13 on, 12 points, 13, 4, 8, 7, 2. They drafted Tyler Algier. I was thinking, this probably does not bode well for Cordero Patterson. I was wrong. Great efficiency, 5.4 a carry, a touchdown. Caught his three targets for 16 yards. We're back where we were a year ago, where everyone wants to say sell high, but then you're thinking, wait, what if I actually got a good running back? There's so few of them. We'll see what happens there, but I would be staying in the flames with Cordero Patterson. He seemed to be a focal point of this offense. But if someone's sending you some really good offers for Patterson, I would not hesitate to take them. Kyle Pitts, 3 points. That was the big disappointment. 19 yards. I've been a lot lower on Pitts than a lot of other people just because Marcus Mariota is his quarterback. He's on the Falcons. I don't think he'll score 3 points every week, but if you drafted him thinking you were going to get a Kelce or a Mark Andrews, you're not. You're not. So that's my thoughts on that game. Cleveland, Carolina, both quarterbacks kind of sucked. McCaffrey stayed healthy, but only got 14 touches, 10 carries. Oh, boy. I'm not super worried about McCaffrey here because they lost. So they'll go, oh, this didn't work. Maybe we should give our best player the ball more. What worries me is when the person you want to get the ball doesn't get the ball, and then the team does really well. That's where I get scared. But when McCaffrey didn't get the ball and they lose, you go, okay, they'll probably adjust this. Kareem Hunt with a performance that makes Nick Chubb owners weep. Nick Chubb would run the ball down to the 10-yard line. Crazy efficient, crazy good runs. 6.4 a carry. And then they put in Kareem Hunt for the touchdown. A little like DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. But hey, if you drafted Nick Chubb, you knew this was going to happen. And if you drafted Kareem Hunt, you knew this was going to happen. You knew there would be games where he scores 4 points, and then there would be games where he scores 20. That's how it's been as long as they've been together on Cleveland. So nothing exactly shocking there. Good to see Nick Chubb as efficient as he was with Brissett as the quarterback. Then Robbie Anderson went off like he always does every, 16th game. Goes crazy for a deep touchdown. Not reading too much into that. DJ Moore did not do much. I have been kind of anti-DJ Moore all along. He just needs a quarterback, and I don't think Baker Mayfield's that guy. So hopefully you weren't in a position where you had to start DJ Moore. San Francisco, Chicago, the battle of the running quarterbacks, but this was a monsoon game. If you watch any of it, absolutely crazy. Not worried about either of these quarterbacks. This actually bodes well for Justin Fields. Like I've said, I think he's going to be a lot better than people expect. Trey Lance, I wasn't expecting Trey Lance to be able to overcome, 17 penalties and insane flooding and his running back getting injured. So I wasn't expecting this to be a massive Trey Lance game. I actually talked about in the starts and sits of the week. I said, Trey Lance, I'm not high on this week. Seattle next, Denver next. I think he gets things together, and he's actually a very good buy low option because a lot of people are going to make judgments on that game. Elijah Mitchell is out for quite some time with a pretty bad knee injury. Jeff Wilson is the obvious next guy in line. But if we are speaking from a historical standpoint, Deebo Samuel will be the guy who takes over the backfield mostly. So I'm not incredibly high on any of those backup running backs. Chicago, there's no one really on this team I'm interested in except for Justin Fields. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, we talked about how Joe Burrow would disappoint, and boy, did he disappoint. My main takeaway from this game, honestly, first off, my take about Ja'Marr Chase just being better than everyone else, that's aging fantastically. He is so fun to watch. But really, if you have Najee Harris, you should be scared. You should be wetting your pants. Not because the foot injury, it's been labeled not a big deal, should be back next week. If not, he returns week 3 against Cleveland and then the Jets. So you're looking at this, you're not too worried. Why I am peeing my pants as an unfortunate Najee owner, I know I was so anti-Najee Harris, he fell to me. Why I'm against him is because Mitch did not pepper him with those checkdowns and targets. Look, week 3 last year, he got 19 targets. That game is not happening this season. That is not happening this season. 14 receptions, 6 receptions, 6, 3, 4, 5, 3, 3. He was just averaging about 4 or 5 receptions a game, got 2 targets. 2 targets. One turned into a touchdown. That saved his day. Without that touchdown, woo, you are, bad game from Najee Harris running. Offensive line, not great. Still not the most efficient runner. I am scared of Najee Harris. He did not get those checkdowns that on TikTok I was promised he'd get. And George, yeah, it scares me. As someone who unfortunately owns Najee Harris, I'm looking to sell him low, let someone buy low off of me, because I don't think things get too much better for Najee Harris. I'm pretty low on him. Then the wide receivers, about what I expected with Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback. Philadelphia, Detroit, Jalen Hurts, profit-approved second year of the row, 90 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown. Passing-wise, he looked very refined. Great connection with A.J. Brown, 155 yards for A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, don't sell him high to someone. He is a legitimate beast, so don't even think about trading him. Miles Sanders, I told you all, we all want to believe Miles Sanders sucks. He doesn't, though. Over his career, he's averaged over 5 yards a carry. Comes out, 13 carries, 7 yards a carry, 96 yards, and a touchdown. He's a good running back, and now he gets Minnesota, that A.J. Dillon just went off against. I love Miles Sanders. I cannot believe people were as low as they were on him. I can't believe it. So Miles Sanders, absolutely love that. And oh look, Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott got the ball too. No surprise there, but when you're running behind the best offensive line in football and you average 7 yards a carry, it doesn't matter if someone else gets the ball every once in a while. On the other side of the ball, DeAndre Swift, also profit approved, went crazy. 144 yards and a touchdown. Swift and Williams are such a funny tandem, because Jamal Williams is like good, but it's so obvious how much better Swift is. Swift, 15 carries, 144 yards. Jamal Williams, 11 carries, 28 yards. Williams found 2 touchdowns, which will happen over the season. He will be a thorn in the buttocks of DeAndre Swift owners. But hey, you can't complain when DeAndre Swift scores 26 points. Amon-Ra St. Brown picked up right where he left off, 12 targets. This guy is going to be a PPR machine all season long. I think DJ Chark did not do much. No one really did much as a receiver except for Amon-Ra St. Brown. It might be ugly, but he's going to be the guy in Detroit. And I think that you should try to acquire him. I liked him in drafts, not as much. I didn't think he'd be seeing 12 targets still. I know it's just week one, but I don't see anyone else really rise into the occasion in Detroit. So I love Amon-Ra. Indianapolis, Houston, gross quarterback games. Jonathan Taylor got it done, 161 yards on 30 carries and a touchdown, 27 points. Rex Burkhead and Damian Pierce, ooh, gross. Neither of them got too much going on the ground. Rex averaged 2.8 yards a carry. Pierce averaged 3. It was a pretty split backfield. I'm not panicked as a Damian Pierce owner. This was just a kind of, if you watched it, you're not shocked at the outcome for those fantasy guys. Damian Pierce will have to get a little more involved for him to be startable, but I'm not dropping him or anything. He is a good buy low. I don't think season-long Rex Burkhead is the guy. He never has been the guy. So I do think you should try to acquire Damian Pierce. And of course, Brandon Cooks had a very solid game. But Michael Pittman, 121 yards and a touchdown, the profit-approved wide receiver, goes off week one. 13 targets, 121 yards and a touchdown. We've talked about it so many times this offseason. Matt Ryan always has a guy that he just hyper-targets. Michael Pittman is that guy. And 13 receptions, 13 targets, 120 yards. Michael Pittman should be a top 5 wide receiver rest of the season, honestly. And then New England, Miami. Neither quarterback looked great fantasy-wise. No one on the ground looked great fantasy-wise. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, though, they look pretty solid. Both got a touch. No. Waddle got the touchdown, 69 yards. Hill had 94 yards. Hill is the wide receiver one, pretty obviously. 8 of 12 receptions. Waddle only 4 or 5. Like Both of them, though, they can get it done on one play because of the speed. And this was against New Orleans, a pretty New England, a pretty tough matchup to start things off. Baltimore next week should be tough as well. Then Buffalo, pretty tough start to the season. But I like them. I like them. They looked pretty good. Chase Edmonds was obviously the one on the ground. Did not get much going on the ground against the stout New England defense. Neither did Mostert, though, so I'm not worried. He was involved through the air, though, 40 yards on 4 receptions, so that was nice to see. I am still very high on him season long. This was just kind of a slow, sluggish game. Baltimore Jets. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lamar Jackson, profit approved, got off to a very hot start. Could have been hotter, but we're not complaining. Devin Duvernay with 20 points. Rashad Bateman with 13. I think it's going to be kind of an up and down season for both those wide receivers. And Mark Andrews will do better than 10 points most games. They really just didn't need to push the ball too much against the Jets. The Jets were not in this game at any point this season. But what a shock. Michael Carter is a good running back. What a shock. I don't know why they drafted Breece Hall. I don't get that. Michael Carter is not bad enough to be benched. Breece Hall is not bad enough to be their running back too. So they've got two very solid running backs, and it's just going to be really frustrating year-long in fantasy, I think, for both these guys and everyone involved. Breece Hall, I'm not interested in starting until I see it, though. It probably will be much later in the season. Probably playoff savior when he gets Detroit, Jacksonville, Seattle to finish up the season. But really, if you're Breece Hall, you're hoping something goes wrong with Michael Carter. But Michael Carter kind of has a lock on as the one in this offense, I think, right now. 10 yards a carry, 7-9 receiving for 40 yards. And Breece Hall did fumble, which always hurts the rookies. Always hurts those rookies. All right, Jacksonville, Washington, this is what you all are here for. All right, you all want to know, what about Travis Etienne? What about James Robinson? Did I mislead everyone? Hundreds of thousands of people on TikTok are disappointed in Travis Etienne and mad at me. So, here we go. Let's do this. I am not worried about Travis Etienne. James Robinson looked good. I was not expecting James Robinson to look as good as he did. But Travis Etienne was very efficient on the ground. 10 yards a carry. Only 4 carries. He actually got 6. 2 were called back. So he wasn't as uninvolved as people thought. 6 carries for about 60 yards. Still 10 yards a carry. And he was 2 bad plays away from having an absolutely insane fantasy game. 2 plays away. He dropped a wide open touchdown. That's on him. And Trevor Lawrence missed him for a wide open touchdown. That's on Trevor Lawrence. Now, why does this matter? It didn't happen. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. The way Travis Etienne was used is very exciting to me. Coming out of the backfield as a pass catcher. Very exciting. On the field, 4th and 1. On the 5-yard line. He's the guy. They look to him in his first game. That's very exciting. He didn't pull through. He didn't score. He didn't catch a ball. But the talent is not in question for me. The talent of Travis Etienne is not the question. We know he's talented. He just had a bad game. But we know he's talented. The opportunity is what has always been the question. He didn't get as many targets or rushes as I wanted. Yes, I'll admit that. But given in this small opportunity, based on how dynamic he is, he had the opportunity for about 25, 30 fantasy points. That is remarkable. That is the upside we've been talking about. He had 4 carries and 4 targets and should have had 25 or 30 fantasy points. Do you not understand how incredible that is? Go buy low on Travis Etienne. Even if James Robinson is back fully healthy, 100%, their number one running back, Travis Etienne is going to be a great player this year. He's so dynamic. He is so freaking dynamic. Go watch his runs. So explosive. Trevor Lawrence missed him on a play, and he had a bad drop. That's the only reason he has 7 points and not 25 points right now. That's the only reason people want to drop him instead of trade for him right now. It's two bad plays. I don't think those two bad plays are going to continuously happen every week of the season, though, because he's a talented first-round pick. They invested draft capital into him. They have to play him. And push comes to shove, he's more explosive than James Robinson. James Robinson, more experienced, didn't make the mistakes, but just running the ball, Travis Etienne's more explosive. 10 yards of carry. 10 yards of carry. He'll get more carries next week. He will. And I think he'll get this about the same number of targets, and I think he'll convert. I don't think he's going to let this happen again. So I am still all in on Travis Etienne. I think you should not panic about Travis Etienne. If you missed out on Travis Etienne, be thankful they dropped the ball and be thankful T-Law missed him, because his value right now is as low as it's going to be rest of season. As low as it's going to be rest of season. This is a dynamic, explosive player who can come out of the backfield, line up in the slot. I'm excited about him. James Robinson, we have to talk about as well, looked very solid. Looked very good, actually. But the fantasy points are a little inflative because of the two touchdowns. You're banking on two touchdowns a game for James Robinson here. Only 11 rushing attempts. Only 11 rushing attempts. That's not crazy. So I might actually be looking to sell James Robinson high. I'd wait a week or two, see how this backfield shapes out. But it wasn't like he was this bell cow. He just got the two touchdowns, which are important, I understand. But touchdowns are not what I want to be reliant on. It's like Najee Harris. Take away the touchdowns and nothing. Nothing. Antonio Gibson had a very good game. I actually was thinking about this. I was thinking about this a couple days ago. I was thinking, gosh, Antonio Gibson is going to start off the season hot, isn't he? Brian Robinson's gone. He gets Jacksonville, Detroit to start the season. I say he's going to start off hot. I didn't actually make a podcast about him because I'm scared to talk about Antonio Gibson at this point in my fantasy football podcasting career. But if you've got him, you should get some good weeks out of him. He's got Philly next that Swift just gashed at week three. And Dallas, who Fournette gashed. Tennessee. Antonio Gibson might be the most frustrating breakout ever. This is the year everyone was out on Gibson, and he might actually do it. Carson Wentz might be good enough that Gibson and Brian Robinson got shot. Gibson might actually be a great fantasy option. I would be looking to the Antonio Gibson owner in your league and seeing if they are interested in selling high. Because if you have Antonio Gibson on your team, you didn't want Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson just ended up on your team. It's a little like Miles Sanders. He just, I guess I got him. But now that we're a little into the season, I'm thinking they might actually pull through. They might pull through. So if you're Antonio Gibson owner, is not in on him, thinks this was a fluke, I would try to acquire Antonio Gibson. It's kind of a reverse, never buy high. Well, you're buying high because the other guy thinks that this is a fluke. You're actually still buying low because you're going to get Antonio Gibson for less than you will week three when he has three straight great games. Curtis Samuel showed up for the first time ever. I've heard about him for many, many years, how incredible he is. And he finally actually played a game of football. And he was very incredible, very good. This is good for Washington that Curtis Samuel, Dotson, and McLaurin all look good, all look very good. Not great for fantasy because now we're going to have there are several wide receivers who are going to be involved in the offense, which if you're a Terry McLaurin guy, that's not the best case scenario. McLaurin somehow only had two receptions, but he did catch one deep one for a 50-yard touchdown. So I am interested in all these wide receivers, but not confident in any of them week by week right now. That's how I feel about that. And then for Jacksonville, Christian Kirk. Was he profit approved? I actually think he was profit approved. Or he was mentioned somewhere in a bunch of podcasts how you need to get him. He pulled through. he pulled through. Wasn't pretty, but he's the only guy who can catch the ball. 12 targets. So Christian Kirk, very good game. Kansas City, Arizona. Gross. What happened? There's nothing relevant on Arizona's side of the ball because it was all garbage time. Literally all of it was garbage time. Saved you. Saved your butt if you started Hollywood Brown. Saved your butt. Saved your butt if you started Murray and Connor. But it was all garbage time. Biggest takeaways from this game are that Patrick Mahomes should be fine. I still don't think he was worth that draft pick. I think this will be one of the better games of the season for him. I still think you should have drafted Jalen Hurts later than Patrick Mahomes. I got some hate on TikTok for my saying Mahomes is not worth that early pick. Anyways, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, incredible game. He was wickedly efficient, 6 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns on 3 receptions. Probably unrealistically efficient for what he's done historically and how he wasn't actually involved that much. Pacheco was very good on the ground too. I'm not reading that much into this, except for, hey, Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally might be relevant. But he would be a sell high for me. He would be a sell high. I think he'll return a little bit to where he has been, which is 14, 15 points a week, which is good, but it's not going to be 22 a week. Don't get carried away with him. Kansas City side of the ball, we still don't know who the wide receiver one is going to be. No one really did that much, but then again, they weren't really ever in a situation where they were really pushing. They just handily destroyed Arizona. Kelsey, still the guy. Wow. Wow. Thought he was going to slow down. He hasn't yet. Has not slowed down yet. In Green Bay, Minnesota, Rodgers, I told you to bench him. Aaron Jones, I thought, would have more than 10 points. A.J. Dillon was profit-approved. He had a great game. He did kind of what I expected him to do. What I didn't expect was Aaron Jones to not be utilized in the passing game at all. That's what's weird to me. I don't know why he wasn't, because it's not like any Packers wide receivers were doing anything, like anything. So the fact that they didn't put Aaron Jones out there and use him as a receiver, that was a little surprising, a little shocking. Aaron Jones, great efficiency, but just didn't get the ball and through the air. However, I'm not panicked yet because, like I said earlier, they didn't use him and they lost. They got killed. It didn't work. So they're going to go back, okay, what can we do? We got to get Aaron Jones the ball in space. They're going to utilize him more. They're going to get him more involved. So that's why I'm not worried. Now, if they had given A.J. Dillon everything and won, then I'd be freaking out as an Aaron Jones owner. But they lost, and the wide receivers did nothing. So Aaron Jones is going to get, he's going to have to be more involved. That will be what the team is focusing on. Dalvin Cook, great game, did not find the end zone, so it wasn't a good, great fantasy game, but on the ground, 4.5 a carry. He looked very, very good most of this game. He's got Philly next, and then Detroit, so I'm not worried about Dalvin Cook whatsoever. Justin Jefferson, wow, 184-2. This is why he was someone that I was considering a number one overall draft pick for fantasy football. 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. Philly next, Detroit, he shouldn't slow down. He is the most dominant wide receiver right now, I think. Even more than Cooper Kupp. Now, it's not by wide margin. They're both great, obviously. But Justin Jefferson, I don't think this is a wow, blow up game and now he goes back. No, I think he's going to stay red hot. Now, fantasy football implication for the Packers, the biggest one is honestly that Alan Lazard, as soon as he's back, should be phenomenal in fantasy football because there is no one in this receiving core who is competent whatsoever. So Alan Lazard coming back, he is going to be so hyper-targeted, and I think he's a pretty good receiver, Lazard, so he should actually be able to produce moderately well, but just he could be seeing, 15 Aaron Rodgers passes a game. I don't care who you are. If you see 15 Aaron Rodgers passes, you're having a good fantasy game. So I am higher than ever on Alan Lazard, and you need to go get him anywhere you can. Because the second he's back, he's going to be just destroyed by Aaron Rodgers' targets. It's going to be a gross, gross target share in this offense. Chargers, Vegas. Justin Herbert, incredible as always. Derek Carr, good and then bad and then good and then bad and then really good and then, oh gosh, he couldn't quite do it like usual. Eckler didn't get much. This game was really through the air and then they didn't have the ball in the second half. Keenan Allen disappointed and got injured. He will not be back for Thursday, most likely. Mike Williams, two catches for 10 yards. He's got Kansas City and Jacksonville, Houston. So, especially without Allen there, I do still like Mike Williams. But what? Where are you? What's going on? Then for Vegas, Josh Jacobs not get much done fantasy-wise. No one really got much done fantasy-wise in Vegas, except for Mr. Davante Adams, who had 30 points, 140 yards, and a touchdown. He's remarkable. He's just a remarkable player. I thought he was going to be worse this year. I thought that, you know, the fact that Derek Carr is not great would hurt Davante Adams. It's not. Actually, it did, because he should have also had, you know, another 30 yards and a touchdown, except for Carr missed him, but I guess it's okay that he had 30. So, wow, just what a beast. And then Saquon Barkley is back in this Giants game. Daniel Jones is still kind of bad, very bad, actually. I was not impressed by him. But Saquon Barkley, woo, 32 fantasy points. It is so nice to see Saquon Barkley back. 9 yards a carry, a touchdown, 6 receptions for 30 yards. It's so exciting to see Saquon Barkley back. We've known it forever. When he's healthy, he's the best running back in football. He just hasn't been healthy in the past 3-4 years. So now him healthy, Carolina, Dallas coming up next. He should stay red hot. Profit-proof Saquon Barkley getting off to a bright start. Derrick Henry, kind of the age-old story. Sometimes it doesn't go his way when the game is kind of close and they aren't able to just run it down their throat 40 times a game. They had to throw a little more, and he didn't find the end zone, so he had a bad game, even though he ran for 80 yards. It's just how it is with Derrick Henry. I was not high on him this year. It's too early for me to say, oh, he's going to be a bust, but it is a little worrisome that they were... I feel like without A.J. Brown, this offense is just a lot worse. I just think the offense is a lot worse, and that's going to hurt Henry a lot. Tampa Bay, Dallas. This just in. Dak Prescott to miss 2 months of football with a wrist injury. Or thumb injury. Thumb is going into surgery. This is a really massive injury week one. I mean, this is suddenly... Oh, This is really bad. This is really bad. Suddenly, CeeDee Lamb, that breakout that we've been wanting, it's not going to happen, I don't think. Ezekiel Elliott, bounce back. Nope, probably not. Tony Pollard, breakout. Nope, probably not. This is massive for fantasy. It's frustrating because he was off all night. This was a bad game for Dallas. Couldn't get him the ball. 11 targets, only 2 receptions for 29 yards. So you go, okay, the volume is there. He's going to bounce back. But now Dak Prescott's out for 2 months. And you can't do anything. This is that thing in fantasy where sometimes you just get really bad luck with the players you draft. It's nothing in your pre-draft process, nothing in your draft process. Just this sucks. Bad luck if you drafted anyone on Dallas. Tom Brady did not play very well. I was pretty low on him without Godwin. Godwin ended up playing, but probably shouldn't have. He got re-injured and now is probably out for a little while longer. And then Julio Jones had, you know, a big catch, but, I mean, didn't do too much. Mike Evans was the guy, like we expected. So I think season-long Evans is the guy in Tampa Bay. Just massively disappointing that Godwin got re-injured and then Leonard Fournette also got injured. He ran the ball darn well. 15 fantasy points, 127 yards, 6 a carry. We'll have to wait and see what the injury is. This was an ugly game. It wasn't even good to watch, and then some massive players got injured. So almost, you know, the type of game you get done, you're like, I wish that game hadn't happened. So that's a bad way to end Sunday. But tonight we've got Monday Night Football. Should be very exciting. On Prize Picks, I'm taking the over on Courtland Sutton, the over on Javonte Williams, and the over on Russell Wilson. Doesn't matter what stats. Just any stat you choose, take the over on those three players. I'm very confident in it. I'm giving away that Courtland Sutton autographed mini helmet next week. So make sure you play Prize Picks this week using promo code PROFIT. And like always, I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening.